Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
My name is Isaac Sloan, and I'm overjoyed to be reunited with Karina Reichman for another episode of Inappropriate Happiness. Karina, you have been in a number of different places and experienced numerous things that are hard to convey through language. What is going on?
What is going on, my friend? That is so aptly put and couldn't be more true, you know, though I will do my very best to express through language the things I have seen. It's so crazy. And, you know, to all of our dear Inappropriate Happiness listeners, so sorry for taking last week off, but I will explain to you, you know, the various states I was in. And I mean that both, you know, geographically and, you know, physically and mentally, you know. But basically, you know, Isaac, I went from playing, you know, two nights at Levon Helm's studios with Marco Benevento, having about a day and a half to get my life together at home, and then taking off in search of opening a few Disco Biscuits shows. And what happened was, you know, we put a dent in the drive by stopping, you know, you go to New York City to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I need to give a big shout out to my dear friends, Rebecca, Lynn, and Jamie, for taking us in. You know, when you have friends in multiple places around the country, it really just makes this whole touring thing easier. So I, you know, so stoked to be able to crash with friends all around, and they really hooked it up. So thank you guys. And then we went from Harrisburg to Cleveland to the House of Blues to open our first Disco Biscuits show. And man, that was insane. We had a great, great time. It was, you know, a great night for us and a great night for the Biscuits, I think, and so fun. If you were in Cleveland, amazing to meet you at the merch booth. And it's always, you know, something I do on these things. Like, you know, I play the set and then run from the stage to the merch booth immediately after the set. We'll, you know, sell all the merch and meet people, you know, all by my lonesome up until when the Disco Biscuits go on. Then I can go enjoy some biscuits, maybe get some dinner, who's to say. And then for set break, I run back to the merch booth, do the same thing all over again. And then same thing goes for set two, go back, enjoy some music, et cetera, et cetera. And then when the show is over at the stroke of midnight, I'm back at the merch booth and just so thrilled to be able to meet, you know, people and have fun and make connections. And, you know, I think it's important to, you know, you got to do this one person at a time, you know, and if one person has a positive experience in my merch booth, that is fucking awesome, you know, and I just love to meet people and it's a beautiful thing. So then we went from Cleveland to Buffalo to the Town Ballroom, where once again we opened for the Disco Biscuits. And I was very lucky to do a rig rundown, except I'm not allowed to say that because that's a Premier guitar verbiage. But a rig tour, if you will, with Mr. Ryan Storm, who has a podcast himself on this platform, Stormy Podcast, I believe, or something to that effect. And, you know, he is a wonderful dude, and he is out here, you know, very much in a similar vein to you and I, being an extreme nerd about all things jam and very, very tuned into the music that we like. And I was thrilled to be asked to, you know, show off my pedals and my bass and whatnot. And that was really fun. And shout out to Ryan for having me. And that was a blast. That show was epic, I would say. And the Biscuits played an amazing night. And
that seemed like a really big one. The Town Ballroom, you were saying, is a wonderful room to go see the Disco Biscuits in, to really go see anything in.
It really is. You know, the difference that I felt at the Town Ballroom, you know, it sort of has this vibe where you're not so high above the audience. You're sort of on the same level as the GA, I would say, or, you know, give or take. And then it swoops upwards. So if you're performing, you sort of see, like, you're almost at eye level with your crowd, and then it goes even further up, as opposed to, you know, in some places you feel like you're kind of above them, which is cool, but I prefer to be in the energy of the people, not above them, because it's all one big sort of give and take energy transfer, you know what I mean? And it feels more disjointed if you're too far above people, I find, you know? So that was amazing, and we played a great night. And, you know, Isaac, you are much more the Disco Biscuits scholar than I am, but I think I got some songs that I, you know, A Helicopter's Encore, I know that song. Epic. And I got quite a few. I mean, over the course of the two nights, I feel like I got a bunch of songs that I personally know, you know?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this band is releasing a lot of new material.
Yeah.
It's been kind of amazing to see how many new songs that they have been debuting on the road, and how many make them into the repertoire, you know, with the debuts. And they're also doing a really great job of balancing it out with a lot of old material, digging into the catalog. You know, these shows saw songs like Bizarre Escape and Mulberry's Dream. And, you know, these are songs that fans really look to hear at a show. Rainbow Song and Plan B. And
wow.
Also, you know, lots of fan favorites like
I-Man.
We Like to Party, I-Man. You know, Spacebird Mating Call, as you said, Helicopters. And, you know, it's been awesome to watch them craft these shows with an eye for integrating new material.
Big time. And it seems really to be working in their favor. You know, it seems like a very inspiring time to be a Disco Biscuit, if you will. And it feels like they're really kind of charged up by all this new material and stoked, and I don't know.
And they have you opening for them.
I mean, that's if that doesn't make you stoked, you know.
That doesn't make you stoked.
We had a wonderful, wonderful time, and those guys, you know, shout out to every one of them. All four of them are just the nicest, coolest, you know, and I'm so grateful to be given the opportunity to warm up the stage for them. You know, we've been seeing this band since we were, you know, 14, 15, 16, you know, and of course you always knowing what's going on and me just being like kind of awestruck by what it feels like in the room, but never going that deep into knowing actually what's happening. But that's why it's always fun to go with you, because you tell me what's happening and you're like, oh, Karina, this is a reverse blah, 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 twisted sister mating call, bird space, yabba dabba. And I'm like, oh, dude, amazing.
Yes, it's definitely, there's a lot of lore to love about this band and a lot of ways to appreciate what they're doing. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing you open for them at the Higher Ground next week.
Dude, so yes, that is the story continues to be written, which is really insane. And I'll talk very briefly in a second about the gig that I had last weekend following Buffalo. But before we do that, more on the Disco Biscuits. I am opening Higher Ground, one of my favorite clubs in the country. It happens to be in the great state of Vermont, Burlington, Vermont, if you will. Home of the Skinny Pancake, among other things. And I am wildly, wildly excited. We are opening for them on February 1st. And second, that is Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And if you're in Burlington or somewhere surrounding and you're coming, I am very stoked for these shows. We have a lot of fun surprises and cool shit in store, shall we say. So I'm completely geeked to keep doing this. And yeah, I mean, talk about a band where, I don't know, when I say the Disco Biscuits, I really feel like they're landing a UFO in the club. You know, it just it transforms a space. Unlike, you know, they might make like the craziest music on the planet. Like, I don't know.
They do. They really do make some of the craziest music on the planet.
I'd have a hard time naming something that is more sort of just like all encompassing, sort of you feel it in your bones. This club feels like it might as well be Neptune at times, you know, and
they're jamming. Crazy. There's electronica, but it's also in very much of a sort of punk ethos at times. Like,
yeah,
you know, we don't care. And we're going to just kind of create this crazy raucous energy. And, you know, people, of course, respond to it in similarly wild ways.
Big time. Big time. And I felt like Buffalo in particular, you know, shout out Buffalo. I think Buffalo has a very strong contingent of folks who really respond to this type of music, if you will. And they were out in full force. Show was sold out well in advance. Very, very cool to see and to be a part of, you know.
So then you went to Lake Placid.
So then... And shout out Adam Novak. By the way, I'm going to paint a very, you know, a picture for you guys, right? So the Disco Biscuits very graciously allowed us to use their gear. That means their drum kit, their bass rig. You know, we did actually bring our own guitar amp, but it was small. You know, it's a very small piece of gear, blah, blah, blah. But that's wildly unheard of when you're a big band like that to let a bunch of dweebs like us pound away on your very expensive and very specific gear, right? Even yours truly doesn't really love sharing her gear with the opening band. And I am a pipsqueak nobody who should be totally cool with that at all times. Anyway, because of that, they allowed us, that pure fact allowed us to not rent a van. And we did this with no extra help, no crew at all. So it's me, Chris, my drummer, and Adam, my guitar player. And for the record, the only one out of the three of us with a driver's license is Adam, my guitar player. So a resounding applause needs to be had for my guy, Adam November, on guitar. And he did every drive from New York to Harrisburg, Harrisburg to Cleveland, Cleveland to Buffalo, Buffalo to Woodstock, New York. And that's where we're good. So Buffalo to Woodstock. This is Friday. We finally could just drive 5 hours, and we slept at Marco Benevento's house, which was incredible. Always so hospitable and such a wonderful place to be. Amazing. Dinner at the Red Onion in Saugerties, New York. Phenomenal. Really just a great thing. And then the next day, Isaac, Adam finally had the day off because the whole Marco crew came and drove us in the Sprinter van 3 hours north to Lake Placid to play what they refer to as the FISU Winter Games, which is some sort of winter sporting event. And I love to see it. It's great. It's good stuff. So I didn't know this was legal, but we played in 20-degree weather, Isaac. I had no idea we were playing outside. And neither did, like, we had no clue until, like, the day before.
Well, I saw a picture and you have a coat on.
I have a full fur coat. And, you know, during soundcheck, you know, I'm wearing a t-shirt, a cashmere sweater that conducts heat, a scarf, and my very, very large fur coat. You'd think I was fine. I'm also wearing sneakers. Very not the call, shall we say. So I then literally after soundcheck, you know, I had one heater that was sort of to my right, right? Which was great for the right side of me. The left side of me, not so much. And if you could picture, your fretting hand, if you are a bass player or guitar player who is, you know, a righty or whatever, was so cold. It was a miracle that any note could come out at all. And the strings on the bass guitar conducting the cold, out of control. So after sound check, I realized, oh shit, I don't know what's going to happen. But I went and I bought a pair of total like ski mom boots that were like insulated with fur, something I have never owned or cared to, like, you know, we live in the city. I would rather wreck a pair of, you know, fancy boots or like sneakers than like get something that looks like this. But talk about functional, Isaac. My toes were in a good way, really great. I got a beanie. Great shit. I've never played a show in a beanie until 2 days ago. And then, yeah, the show happened, and it was fucking awesome, but it was, like, you know, between you, me, and the wall, and all of our listeners, difficult.
You know, I was just thinking there's been a lot of like portrayals in the media of what it's like to be in a touring band. I remember when your dentist asked you if your life was like the Motley Crue biopic, The Dirt. And there's also like, you know, Almost Famous and Spinal Tap and movies that really do try to capture what it's like on the road. And I don't know, there's something about your experience where, of course, it is a whirlwind and it's totally crazy, but it's also something that you can't even capture and portray for entertainment value,
right?
Because it's so its own thing.
Oh my God. And so extreme in some ways and so not in others. And so, yeah, no, it's really, really a mind trip in lots of ways. And even just seeing so many different things in such a short amount of time, you know what I mean? It's just like, whoa, like, remember when we were staying with those people and now we're staying with these people and we've just seen, you know, two nights at the business, like what? Like, crazy shit. So yes, it was a very cold gig there in Lake Placid, but we had a blast and the heater, you know, turned back on after the first four songs. And shout out to Connor Milton, our front of house engineer, who was definitely on heater duty more than he was on monitor duty that show. And it was a trip. That is by far the coldest gig I've ever played. And to be honest, Isaac, it is the coldest gig I ever hope to play.
Well, I was just thinking about your Peach Fest DJ set when the sun was just directly beating down on you. I was just watching your arms get more and more red. And I guess just a few months later in Lake Placid at the Winter Games,
January 21st versus, you know, July 3rd or whatever, right? Yeah, it's, you know, through rain, sleet, snow, extreme temperatures, we are here to put a party on for the people, and party we did, you know? So shout out to the Winter Games. That was excellent. And then, Isaac, after all of this, so we come back, you know, to Woodstock, and then, so I feel like, I don't know if I mentioned, but we were able to do this all in a passenger vehicle, you know, with my band. So we stole my boyfriend's Jeep Wrangler for the occasion. So we put down two seats in it, merch, two pedal boards, two guitars, personals, end of list, you know what I mean? And so because of the Disco Biscuits, you know, generosity, I didn't have to rent a van. So we don't need to get in the economics of this tour, but literally they made it feasible for me. And for that, I can never thank them enough, you know? So any band that goes and like is able to do something like that, and just, you know, the fact that like me and my band could do it with no crew and just, you know, raw dog it by ourselves, it made all the difference. And it's just, it's miraculous that, you know, three lunatics who just like to play psychedelic rock music can like actually make their way sort of around the country and play shows and like arrive places on time and like adhere to what has to happen. Pretty miraculous. So that was great. And then the very next morning, Isaac, you know, get home, Lake Placid, Woodstock, back in New York City. I have an 8 a.m. wake up for jury duty. And let me tell you, wasn't ready for it, but I got dismissed. All went well. It was all fine. But yeah. And then here we are kind of the day after, sleeping till about 2 p.m. obviously. So, you know, your body recovers, your mind recovers. These are the things. These are the trials. These are the joys. It's a wild fucking life. So I'm really stoked to be back with you here. And that is sort of my spiel. And then of course, next week, more Biscuits shows, among other things I will go into later. But it's great to be back. Great to be here. Great to be anywhere.
Well, speaking of friendly guys with fratty fans playing in all kinds of different weather, The Dave Matthews Band announced just yesterday that their new LP, Walk Around the Moon, is coming out on May 19th, and they are hitting the road for an extensive tour of the U.S.
I couldn't be more excited, Isaac. Namely, the tour date that really has piqued our interest, among others, is the one that will take place at Forest Hill Stadium here in Queens, New York. Wow. There's something about picturing them there that is so far out. Like that you know, as soon as the dates dropped, you texted me like, yo, Dave at Forest Hills, holy shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's crazy for some reason.
It's intimate. It's in the city, but it's in a cool part of the city.
Yeah.
It's not just your standard Central Park show or Garden show. God bless both of those places and their concerts.
Amen.
But There's something about seeing Dave Matthews in a kind of special place that typically caters to smaller acts, a little bit, right?
Smaller than Dave.
A little bit bigger than it's...
You know, just because this is an arena act that sells out two gardens. You know, most acts that sell out two gardens aren't playing one Forest Hills. Correct. That is definitely true. So
that'll be really cool. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the new album, Madman's Eyes, new single. It's out now. I checked it out. It seemed pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to checking it out. And I'm just, you know, it's so great that they're, you know, still putting out records, still making it rain, still trudging around the country. And, you know, talk about legions of fans, fratty and otherwise,
yes,
who are ready to do it, you know? Yeah. And they're like, if you could keep me floating just for a while.
Very vital operation over there. You know, a lot of vitality.
Nothing but vitality. They're so spry. They're good to go.
Good to go.
It's a special thing. And the Gorge, of course.
The
very
Gorge, of
classic.
Course. And, you know, the other Northeast amphitheaters. They got two at SPAC. They got Camden. They got PNC and Jones Beach. There's also Chicago and two nights in Wilmington, North Carolina at the lovely Live Oak Bank Pavilion where we saw Widespread Panic.
We love it there.
That was great. Two nights in Charleston at the Credit One Tennis Stadium, which just got a new facelift and is good to go. They're playing all over.
It's a beautiful thing. So if you want to see a little Dave, see a little Dave. I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast. I was previously, you know, a high school hater, and I have opened my heart to his animal rights, and I'm feeling good about it. So, you know, I'm a fan now. I'm a total fan now. I'm ready to get it with, you know, renewed vitality, if you will.
Well, speaking of renewed vitality, yeah. Willie Nelson is turning 90 this year.
Yo. And I sort of didn't realize that was the number.
That's really new. I don't, like,
holy shit.
90?
Dude.
I mean, yeah.
He looks amazing.
He looks amazing.
Insane. And they are celebrating his life at the Hollywood Bowl, Isaac.
Two nights, April 29th and 30th. I will be at Jazz Fest, but this will be going down at the Hollywood Bowl. It is literally studded with stars. There are stars everywhere. It is a bright night full of stars.
Sleeking out of their anus with stars.
We got Neil Young coming out of COVID retirement for this. We got, you know, people you usually see like Warren Haynes. We got Sturgill Simpson coming out of his vocal rest for this. We got The Chicks, the Avett Brothers, Sheryl Crow, Norah Jones, Beck, Billy Strings, Bob Weir, Chris Stapleton, Casey Musgraves, Leon Bridges. I mean, this is just to name a few.
That's, yeah, you couldn't even name them all. You couldn't even read the whole list.
I couldn't name them all.
It's absolutely insane. By the way, Snoop Dogg. Let's just throw it up for our man,
S-N-O-O.
Like, that is so great.
That is really great.
You know, like, it doesn't end. It's like, it's the best thing. Obviously, Willie has touched the lives of so many, including you and I, and every one of those stars that we just mentioned. Among, you know, he is a true American treasure. We need to celebrate him. You know, it's so fucked up. Like, you know, so many, we wait sometimes too late till these people are dead. Right? And it's like, don't wait. Celebrate now with all your friends at the Hollywood Bowl or wherever. And this is incredible. So, you know, from us here at Inappropriate Happiness HQ, we beg, beseech, and implore you to throw on a Willie record today. You know, do whatever you got to do. He really wrote the book on so much of this stuff. And we're so lucky to be existing in the same moment as he is at this very second. That's crazy, dude.
That is crazy.
We're alive in the time of Willie, and it shows.
It does.
Huge event. We love to see it. Great news item, Isaac. Also, completely shifting gears and something I care far less about, but I feel sort of nostalgically compelled to mention, Panic at the Disco. Hanging it up. Done.
Hanging it up.
And I mentioned this, you know, to even say Panic at the Disco after Willie Nelson feels sacrilegious. But, you know, there's something about, they had this song that was very, very big when you and I were in about sixth grade, and you know what that'll do to somebody's psyche, right? And it's just, it's one of those things that, of course, that song could have been it. But no, they really continued to produce radio hits for the next almost 20 years, which is crazy. And they're stopping. And I just, you know, as much as their music doesn't mean all that much to me, respect. And you've done your time, Panic at the Disco. And we bid you farewell.
Did you ever see them?
No.
I saw them at the Roseland Ballroom on the Pretty Odd Tour.
Oh, dude.
This the was year was 2008.
Dude, that's appropriate. Yes. In 2008, there was like, they were such a hot band on this planet. Like,
they were, crazy. Absolutely. And it was also like summertime. So it was kind of like Songs of Summer a little bit.
Absolutely. A lot of those have very Songs of Summer like connotations for me, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, sort of the tail end of this sort of emo thing, yep. Which is so very much not really a thing anymore. It is, but it is in a nostalgic sort of way. You know, we have emo night, quote unquote, the DJ dance party that does exceedingly well all around the country. But like, it's a different beast than it was from 2005 through 8, you know?
Completely. It's alive in a very different way.
It's alive in a nostalgic way, yeah. More than anything, you yeah. know, for people our age who are just trying to relive being 14 in that regard. And of course, I'm sure they're garnering this new thing, but they were able, that band specifically, amongst others, were sort of able to transition out of that and make sort of these radio rock hits that have sort of transcended, you know, generationally, and people are out there screaming along, buying the tickets, taking the ride, and, you know, anybody who's able to do that, I have a lot of respect for, so mazel.
It is interesting that it was really a sound and a style and an aesthetic, but really a time and place. Like, if we tried to recreate it now, even in a kind of an original way, I don't know if the world's open to it.
I think it would fall flat.
I
think it's a very different world, yeah. In fact. And I think it's a very different music world. And by that, I mean like the things that 14-year-old kids are gravitating towards, it's not that at this
totally.
Moment, you know,
totally.
Or what that represented to us
I
at
think
a
it's
time.
Also a little bit different to be older people playing for a demographic of 14-year-olds or preteens even.
These days. Yeah,
you know,
certainly.
Because they were probably our age
yeah.
when Panic at the Disco was very popular. But now to be a 28-year-old playing to younger kids, I think is a different thing.
I think it is too. Yeah. I think it is too. Even though, I mean, I think it happens. It yeah. very much happens. But it's sort of, there was this very different sort of emphasis on fandom.
Yeah.
And what that all looked like, you know, back then. You remember that band 303 that was very big and
certainly.
Sort of meet and greet culture, of course, still exists in a very big way. But it was sort of, I don't know, like the Bamboozles of the world and the Warp Tours and the this and the that. Like there was sort of these systems where, you know, if you were a fan of God knows what, like, you know, you could sort of, I don't know. It just seemed very extreme back then in different ways than it is now.
I completely agree.
Fascinating, man. So, you know, between Willie Nelson and these guys, hanging out.
Well, you know, there was one artist on the Willie Nelson lineup that I did want to shout out, one of your favorites, Beck, going on tour with the band Phoenix, also a band you really like, this summer for the Summer Odyssey Tour. They're playing Madison Square Garden. They're also playing a number of other places, including the Red Rocks Amphitheater, the Kia Forum in L.A., which is, I guess, just the Forum, but now Kia is a sponsor or
sure.
owns it or whatever. Merriweather Post Pavilion, you know, all over the place. They're playing Texas. And this is a really cool tour.
I love this tour, and the support is very, very cool. We right. have Japanese Breakfast, and who else?
Well, Jenny Lewis.
Yes, incredible.
Yep.
Incredible. I mean, and of course the support differs for each date, but I did see, you know, imagining myself at Beck Phoenix with Japanese Breakfast opening at Red Rocks. That's a very, very cool night of music, if you ask me. So I think it's great. It's a great tour. As Isaac said, Beck really is one of my favorites to ever walk this earth. Bless his heart. I can't wait to be at his 90th birthday celebration at the Hollywood Bowl, hopefully performing a riveting rendition of Where It's At.
I have full faith that is what will go down.
May
Except
you
I don't know if it'll be in the Hollywood Bowl. I think it may be on the moon.
Oh, dude, I'd love to do it on the moon. Way better. Way better.
Or at the MSG Sphere in Las Vegas.
Dude, talk about I mean, they're talking about only doing residencies of like huge bands, but huge bands will just play like for a few months or some shit like that, or like 12 shows.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot of things that are sort of in the ether that I'm sure we'll talk more about on this podcast. The MSG Sphere.
Oh, yeah.
What Phish will do this summer.
Lots percolating.
John Mayer, apparently, like solo tour or trio or something.
John Mayer,
there's things percolating.
Trio.
This is all rumor. This is all like, who knows what this is.
Things are happening. It's a wild thing. Yeah, John Mayer Trio is playing the Love Rocks event that just got announced as well. Shout out to our friend Greg Williamson, who puts that on, and the incredible lineup that he has cultivated as well. Among, you know, a lot of hot acts, but the John Mayer Trio, I think, amongst a certain demographic, everybody wants to see John play with this trio.
That's a big deal.
You know, so that's pretty cool. And, you know, if talk about the rumor mill, but if he's doing that, you can only imagine maybe a couple other John Trio shows. I just don't know. But
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Isaac, did you know that I'm going to see Brad Meldow Quintet tonight at the Village Vanguard?
You know, I'm going to that same show on Sunday.
What the fuck?
I look forward to hearing what you think of it.
You
That's
too.
Very exciting. Christian McBride is playing bass. That's a big deal.
Dude, and in a tiny little room like that.
Dana Stevens.
I'm ready to soak
really
it
good.
In. Yeah, I think it's we're in
really
for
good.
A treat.
I'm even going to see Branford Marsalis tomorrow.
Oh, what a
jazz.
Week of
Great
jazz.
To go see jazz.
Jazz in the winter in New York City, specifically. I mean, summer too, don't get me wrong, but there's something about... You know, it's cold out, you pile into a small little club, you see some of the finest of the genre doing what they do in these very storied places here. It's a special, special vibe.
Absolutely.
Dude, so fucking fuck yeah. You know, we should probably put a bow on this, but before we do, I have, you know, talk about going from cold, rainy New York, seeing jazz in a small place to just next week... Shit's about to go down. And then the week after, so I play Burlington, Vermont on the 1st and 2nd with the Disco Biscuits, right? Come home on the 3rd, have the 4th to get my life together. Then February 5th, we fly to Miami, Florida to play the Jam Cruise pre-party at a club called Citadel. And it's us headlining and then Butcher Brown and a local band that's incredible called Tanned on the bill. And I think it's really going to be a spectacular night of music. So if you're in Miami or South Florida and you're ready to get it, grab your tickets while you can. Looking scarce. Very, very excited. And then, Isaac, the next day, quite literally the 6th through the 12th of February, I will be floating out at sea with the craziest music fans maybe of all time. I don't know. The Jam Cruise, you know, I have yet to see anything more all-encompassing and just completely... I don't have the words for what it looks like on this ship. I did it once before in 2020, but in 2020, I was more of like a special guest. I hosted a jam room. I did a few things. This year, I have two sets with my band, among other very exciting, cool shit that I'm looking forward to playing. Like, you know, this year, it's going down properly. So I will be gone essentially from February 1st to 12th, just, you know, in extreme climates, extreme cold, extreme warmth, and then I will be coming back. And then the next two weekends, I will be opening for Mo. At the next weekend is the State Theater, two nights in Portland, Maine, one of my favorite places on the East Coast. And then the following weekend, we got one night in Albany, February 25th, opening for Mo. So this is all very exciting, and I'm sure I will recap these gigs. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm just happy to be stationary for 2 seconds to tell you about all this because it's really making my mind scramble at the thought. I thought the beginning of the year would be chill, Isaac. It's not. It's really not. When is it going to be chill? Probably never. Maybe,
I don't know. Maybe you'll find your zen on the Jam Cruise boat.
Oh, totally. And I find my zen every day.
Of course.
But... I thought it would be more stationary, but you know what? It's not. And that is incredible. I thought I was going to be like, you know, sitting on my thumb looking for things to do. Turns out.
Yes. No, that I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon for you.
Really wild shit. Anyway, looking forward to seeing you all out there. Jam Cruisers, we know you are ready to go. You write to me every day, and I'm so thrilled telling me how excited you are.
That's awesome.
Cannot wait to see you on there. And, oh, we should just really briefly mention, there's a gentleman out there named Danny Steinman. He is the pin guru, I think, of maybe the world. I just don't know. Anyway, this gentleman, he makes pins, for those of you who don't know. And he has a community, a Facebook group, if you will, called Pin Daddy, something, 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 Danny Steinman's Jam Art. And it has like 26,000 people in there that are so ravenous and so fervent and so honestly welcoming. And I'm floored by just the overwhelming support. You know, we released a Karina Reichman pin, the first Karina pin. I was knee deep in jury duty while this was all going down, you know, posting about it, blah, blah, blah. The pin was going to drop between 1:30 and 2:30. He tells me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, sitting on pins and needles there in the courthouse, just like, whoa, what is happening? All these people commenting. Very exhilarating, very exciting. It sold out in a matter of minutes. And I'm just so overwhelmed with gratitude for all of you who were able to grab these pins. Like, I never even thought about a pin, Isaac. Like, I didn't know this was a commodity that people were so invested in, you know?
At the Grateful Dead Scholars Caucus one year, there was a presentation on pins as a form of folk art.
Is that right?
It's very interesting.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
it's a real communal thing that if you're not in it, it may seem like, what is this all about, these pins?
Big but time. I had no idea. I wish I could have seen that panel. That's really interesting. I mean, yeah, and they have, you know, all these limited edition color variants. And if you bought the Karina Reichman pin, you bought a pack of two and you don't know what color variations you're getting. And the whole thing is really just shocking, and I'm just getting hip to it now, and I would just like to send a overwhelming amount of gratitude to the Pin Daddy group and Danny Steinman in general for, you know, he could be working with anybody, and he does, but he wanted to do this with me, and I didn't even realize what I was in for when I agreed to it months ago. So thank you for supporting me and this art and the whole nine, and I love the design. It's a bass flower where every, you know, four bass strings bloom into flowers, which is pretty awesome. And he made a hell of a design, and I'm just thrilled. So thank you. Thank you for that. That's all I got. Absolutely out of control. And, you know, RJB, we need to send a shout out to our mainest man, RJB, Osiris Network. He puts this podcast on. This was a very sort of, you know, I felt like I had a lot to talk about. I had a lot to get off my chest, you know?
You had a lot on your mind grapes.
I had a lot on my mind grapes, dude. we had to squeeze them. And I'm just so thrilled that, you know, you guys, it's 2023, second podcast of 2023. We are out here delivering the goods. Isaac, thank you for taking the time,
Karina,
out of your busy day to record this pod.
My absolute pleasure. This was fantastic. I will see you at the higher ground.
Oh, baby. Music to my motherfucking ears. And I will see you at the skinny pancake, the friendly toast, anywhere where we can get a flat stack. Sorry, fat stack of flapjacks. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, thank you guys. Inappropriate Happiness loves you. I love you. iBugs loves you. We'll see you next time in the great beyond. Bye-bye.
Play the song.
Play the song. Hit me.
I never learned to count.
Ow!
Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you
from. Osiris.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the corner of Gray Street.